Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance you get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to another session of Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Hottie, from Shekinah Foundation Trust, dealing with the problems of alcoholism and drug abuse in society today. Last week, we spoke about Christian example. And if you listeners will remember, we had a young Christian couple in who spoke about the necessity of setting a good example in the world which we live in today. And we're going to actually expand that topic this evening. That Christian example is something that many communities lack today. And in studio tonight, I've actually got David Sampson, who I've known for over 35 years. We served on the mission field together in White River. And David himself is actually pastoring a fellowship in the Lowveld. But I'll let Dave introduce himself. Welcome, David, to the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's really great to be with you tonight. Okay, I'm actually originally from the UK. I was trained in graphic arts, which is what brought me to this nation to work with the Literature Mission, where I met Mike. I was converted in the early 70s, became a missionary in the early 80s, and I'm currently pastoring a church in Mpumalanga. I'm particularly concerned about the drug abuse in schools because I'm working amongst school children. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's...
Yes, and that's our topic this evening.
Yeah.
Is we've spoken here on radio, David, in past. We had South African police services in who spoke about the problems where it stems in primary school level, which is quite frightening. But I think a lot of the community think that it's only their problem. It's only a problem here. Mm. Meanwhile, it's something that is it's nation and actually worldwide,
absolutely.
This whole problem of alcoholism and drug abuse in schools. And so this evening, David, I know that you have researched and you've involved and you're busy in this type of thing. Mm. I'd like to have a look at some of the root causes of the problem of alcohol and drug misuse at schools.
Right, well, it's general. It's not just limited to schools, but a cursed identity is one of the issues that make people look out for something to bring comfort into their souls. People curse people's identity without realizing it, and the main culprits, sadly, are fathers and school teachers. When people speak derogatively to us, or it may be just the way they act toward us, or it may be with me. I'm small in stature. When I was at school, I was ridiculed, I was shamed, I was bullied, and I felt just so small. I was insecure, I was full of shame, full of fear. And so I'm looking for something to fill the gap.
So you're saying that words actually can have a huge influence in an individual's life?
You can bless somebody, which means you empower them to prosper. You can curse somebody by speaking negatively or derogatively, and it disempowers them from prospering. And that can be in every area of their life, relationally, physically, emotionally, every area.
So, and this, you think, is one of the root causes for the problem of youngsters then turning to alcohol and drugs?
When someone curses you, and I felt just like that in my late teens and early 20s, it pushed my soul out of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for something to bring my soul back into peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the flesh provides false comforts, but of course they're not the right comfort.
Okay, so it's a spiritual thing.
It's a spiritual thing. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, this is what the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." So the Lord promises us rest for your souls when we walk in his paths.
Yes.
These are not Jewish paths. It actually means before time, out of eternity. So this is not just for Jews. It's for Gentiles, for everyone.
So it's for all of mankind.
So God wants to bring our soul into peace without false comforts.
Okay, so what you're saying is our soul is... is not at peace with itself. It's out of peace, and we're looking elsewhere where is God should be our comfort.
That's right, absolutely.
And yeah. I think the last part of that verse is very, very sad, which you quoted there, Jeremiah 6:16, where the promises you will find rest for your souls, but the people said, we will not walk in
That's
it.
That's right. Tragic. Yeah, they didn't understand the implications of not walking it, but they would have experienced a soul greatly out of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is this, in your experience and what we see here, one of what do you believe the root causes for youngsters then drinking and drugging? Because their soul is not at peace.
Their soul is out of peace. When your soul is in peace, you don't need any false comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're okay. You're secure. You're fine. I used to be so insecure as a young person,
mm-hmm.
terribly insecure, feeling terribly insignificant. And today, I mean, I'm almost 70, but I'm very much at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's only God's peace. It's not anything else that I'm hanging on to or looking to for peace.
And this situation where spiritually in that we're not at peace with ourselves, we're not at peace with God, that you feel comes about by parents, teachers speaking negatively over us.
Unfortunately, it's parents, it's fathers particularly, and teachers who are the main culprits. And mm-hmm. they don't mean to do it. They don't actually realize they're doing it. They just speak negatively, derogatively. And we have no idea how that curses an individual and just makes them feel so small. And it's not just the spoken word. It can be body language.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even as a pastor going to, and this was near where I'm pastoring now, to a hotel for a wedding. And the mother, the parents were in my church, but the son was in Johannesburg. He came with his slick city pastor to conduct the mm-hmm. wedding ceremony.
Yes.
And when we met, he walked up to me, looked me up and down, and shook my hand, turned around, walked away, and we spoke nothing, no other words together for the whole of the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And that just compounded the lie that was already in my heart. I haven't got what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just useless. Nobody thinks about me. Nobody cares about me. These are lies that the enemy imparts into our hearts when we're feeling insecure and out of peace.
So a person will say something to me and then I feel totally inadequate, or a youngster feels totally inadequate, and they start believing that they are that.
They believe the lie. Absolutely. And as you grow up, it happened to me so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up feeling I am mm-hmm. small.
So
I am insecure.
So a parent could turn around and say to the youngster, man, you're stupid.
That's right.
Or turn around and say to them, you'll never be any good.
Absolutely.
Is that,
yeah.
That's the type of language that you're talking
exactly
about.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And what's wrong with you? You know,
yeah.
It's a typical one. So
mm-hmm.
it's not a fact of what you're doing wrong. What's wrong with you? So
mm-hmm.
then they think, okay, well, obviously something is wrong with mm-hmm. me. And their soul is put out of peace.
And then they find false comfort or sort of try and get release from this by taking alcohol and drugs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
In Galatians 5:16-17, it says, walk by the Spirit, in other words, in God's ancient paths, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the flesh who wants to bring you a false comfort.
Mm-hmm.
For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. And you don't want to walk with your soul out of peace. You want to walk in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the flesh. He's actually coming as an ally. He's trying to provide a solution to bring your soul back into peace. But he offers the wrong kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say in that same chapter, Galatians 5:19-21, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, and then it talks about drunkenness
mm-hmm.
and the like. And those are the things the flesh offers to bring your soul into peace. And it offers a measure of peace for a short time, but it doesn't last. And it ends up leaving you or dumping you lower than where you were when you began, and it's you need more and more and more.
So this is just like a short-term solution to the problem.
Absolutely, Mike. Yeah, very short-term.
I think I'm thankful, though, if we read further in that chapter in Galatians, there is something that is positive in that situation, where Paul writes And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that's in verse 22
right.
Of Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace.
That's right.
Forbearance, kindness, that's goodness, right. faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Hmm.
And against such things there is no law.
Yeah.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
That's exactly right, Mike.
But unfortunately, yeah. we see youngsters haven't crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They actually succumb to it.
Yeah, yeah, but they don't understand what they're doing. But it's that very peace, the peace of God that we're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and also God's impartation of love, that will bring our souls into such peace and security,
mm-hmm.
we no longer need anything else to try and bring us back into peace.
Okay,
yeah,
so
it's awesome.
So, David, what you're saying here is that much of the cause of the misuse and the abuse of alcohol, drugs, and other things, and living a lifestyle or to please oneself as youngsters is actually this is something that destroys the peace of our soul,
right.
and then we look for false comforts in whatever the world might be offering our way, and these are short-term things that don't actually bring long-lasting change or
That's
remedy
right.
to the situation. Yeah. So what is the solution?
Things happen when we're young, and it mostly is in early childhood that we have events.
Mm-hmm.
And things like sexual molestation is devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that doesn't just happen with young girls. It's with boys as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or rejection. I'm working with a friend in my hometown, rejected by his mother. Oh,
mm-hmm.
His soul is way out of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we're battling with him. God can do it, but he's battling to access his heart. Because it's a heart issue. It's actually not a mind issue. It's a heart issue.
And I suppose it's a situation there as well where the person looks quite normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they might even put on a show of bravado.
Absolutely, they will.
And to their mates and their friends and all that, yet inside they're actually in turmoil.
Absolutely, Mike, yeah. And when one experiences something like that, I mean, particularly I think sexual molestation,
mm-hmm.
the devil takes the opportunity to sow a lie into our hearts,
mm-hmm.
not our head, in our heart. And it ultimately it's about our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And our identity answers the question, who am I?
Okay.
And that's where we feel out of peace. We haven't a clue who we are. Tragically, so many people are walking around not knowing who they are, who God made them to be. And it's only God who can actually answer that question. He created us in his image. He gave us everything we need, as the scripture says, for life and godliness. We lack nothing. But most people, as I did for so many years, walk around with a lie. You're useless. You haven't got what it takes. You'll never make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes your identity.
I think a lot of this lie that people live under, a lot of it is possibly caused through broken homes, single parents type situations.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to tell the story. I've got an elderly gentleman living with me, and he was bitten by quite a big dog some time ago. Took him to the hospital. The nurse did not really know what she was doing, and she put something over it. But weeks later, he was saying to me, David, this really isn't working. I can't sleep at night. I've got a lot mm-hmm. of pain. I need to go back to the doc. And fortunately, when I took him back to the hospital, another nursing sister saw to him and said, this is going to be painful, but I have to lance this wound, take mm-hmm. out the pus, and then apply the correct medication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's actually what God wants to do in the spirit realm. We've all got hurts deep in our hearts that often we hide because it's too painful to go there. And the nurse is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes and he has to expose the wound, and it's mm-hmm. very painful.
Yes.
And it's mostly, it goes with a lot mm-hmm. of tears. I've been there many times mm-hmm. myself as God has dealt with my own heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
But then after she did that and she applied the correct medication, then he healed.
Mm-hmm.
And in our case, dealing with a spiritual issue, the real medication is an impartation of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
God's love just seals
mm-hmm.
the pain. Well, it removes the pain and then seals the wound.
I'd just like to invite our listeners at this point, David, that if you yourself have experienced anything that we've been speaking about, that David's been sharing this evening, You're welcome to actually share your story by SMS or WhatsApp if you'd like to with me. You can use the number 082-789-5973. Or if you have a query or something you'd like to ask, you can use that same number, 082-789-5973. Sorry, Dave, I didn't want to interrupt the flow of thought there, but I think this is many listeners out there possibly have been in that situation themselves where they might still be living under a lie, where people have actually spoken things over
that
aren't true, and they've actually come to believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is a process that I'm walking through.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, there is an event, but there could be a number of events. It's at those times when the devil imparts a lie. And we're not interested in the lie. We're interested in the truth.
Truth, yes.
And God's truth must come to displace the lie. That's what we're looking for, because it's the truth that makes us complete.
I think of John 8:32 there, David, while you're talking, where God says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you
free. That's right. And that's the kind of freedom that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not theological truth, because we can quote scripture easily. It's truth in the depths of our heart that sets us free. And that's the kind of freedom that I've experienced. And, of course, the Lord wants to bring to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I think John expands this in his short letter later in scripture, in 1 John 4:18, where he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's virtually a repeat of John 8:32.
No, that's actually a misquote there, Mike. It's actually, there is no fear in love.
Oh, sorry.
But perfect love casts out fear.
Oh, sorry, I've misquoted it, yes. Perfect love casts out fear, of course.
Yeah, because fear has torment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's when your soul is out of peace, you're tormented.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people do we know who are tormented day after day? They cannot find peace. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Mm-hmm. So it's the love of God that brings closure or healing to the wound and sets us free from the fear.
Okay, so this is a situation that it's an act that we need to do. We see it in many youngsters today. They're living in the realm, I would say, of a lie or a curse that's actually been placed on them.
Absolutely.
And then they've come to believe it, and they believe it, that is the truth, but it's actually not.
It's
not the truth at all.
That's right. I grew up believing I'm small, I don't have what it takes, and the messages that came to me just empowered that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I emphasize again, this is ministry to the heart, not to the head.
Yeah.
And when we minister to people, whatever they're suffering or struggling with, we like to use the scripture John 5:19.
Okay.
Truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Jesus was very specific in only doing what his Heavenly Father showed him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to minister to somebody, we try to be sensitive. Father, what are you saying? What do you want to do right now for this individual? We may see a number of things wrong, but maybe the Father wants to do something very specific at that moment, because only he knows how to set people free.
Mm. That sounds fantastic. Dave, we're going to take a short music break now, and when we come back, listeners, we're going to speak further about how we can be set free from possibly these lies and curses that have been placed upon us and that we have actually lived under and been living a false life, not living the fullness of life that God intends for us. Welcome back to the second half of our discussion this evening together with David Sampson here on Good News Community Radio, 93.6 FM, on the program Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Harty. We're speaking about the situation we find in our nation today where many people are living under a lie. They've been spoken over. virtually cursed by sometimes those people that should be the closest to them, their own parents, the people who should give guidance, the father, mother, teachers. And yet, as we said earlier, that words are spoken and sometimes actions are taken, and we live under the lie of these actions, these untruths. But David, we cannot continue in such poverty of spirit. You say that it's a case of our soul is out of peace. Mm. How do we restore this? How can we come to a place of restoration?
I'd like to draw a little picture to illustrate to people that I'm ministering to exactly what's happening. And if you can think of a wood fire with some logs, which is what you're going to light with your match, then above the logs there's some flames, and then above the flames there's some smoke.
That's a typical fire, yes.
Typical fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the smoke represents the external manifestation, whether it's drugs, when it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whatever.
Okay.
The flames represent the event that we all experience mostly in childhood.
That caused, obviously the flames caused the smoke. This event,
it's caused
that,
the smoke.
That causes this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then below the flame, you've got the logs or the wood, whatever. And that's the lie that Satan imparts into our hearts about who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's primarily about our identity.
Okay.
So when we hear God's truth, and of course, as soon as truth comes, the lie is dispelled.
Mm-hmm.
When we receive God's truth, then there's no more flame.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need the smoke. You don't need the false comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the lie is gone.
Yes.
But it's no good trying to deal with the external manifestation. Just trying to help somebody get over alcohol or deal with drugs or pornography, you're wasting your time, essentially.
Yeah.
Because the lie is still rooted in the heart.
And scripture tells us that Satan is the father of all lies.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he never gives up.
So we try and deal with the problem, the issues we might have with drug abuse, with pornography,
right.
With greed or whatever it might be there. But we aren't looking at the underlying root of the situation.
That's right. Now, we don't counsel people. We just ask them to quieten their heart before the Holy Spirit, and we invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to them an event. Mm-hmm. And with most people, I can promise you, most people, it's in early childhood.
Okay.
And then often it can be emotional, like my friend with the dog bite.
Yes.
He was in pain. Mm. And I was in pain when I was set free. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal an event, and then we're looking for the lie. And mm-hmm. often when the emotions flow, the lie is exposed,
because
that's what we're looking for. And then, of course, we ask the Holy Spirit, okay, what's the truth? And as we wait quietly before the Holy Spirit, he will actually speak to us. Mostly, it's the first thing that comes into our head. If it's not the truth, it gives us a good clue as to what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And he will speak into our hearts, into our minds, and reveal truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes people struggle to hear the voice of God. And there can be underlying blockages, such as unforgiveness or unconfessed sin. And that can stop us hearing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So then we stop the process, and then we deal with that, just chatting with one another. And when that's being confessed and repented of, then we go back to the Father again and say, now, Father, what is your truth?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say to this individual about who they are? You made them. You created them. They're perfect in your eyes. Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
And when God speaks his truth, you just see the whole face light up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome to see God change a person in an instant. And it doesn't have to take a long time.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's the truth of God about who we are, whom he created us to be, that makes a difference.
I think it comes back to that scripture which we quoted earlier. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you
absolutely
free.
Absolutely, yeah. And freedom is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not managing. You don't have to manage alcohol. We also deal a lot with anger. You don't have to manage anger. Jesus comes to set us free.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're free, you are free, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a case of coming back to what Paul told the Romans. Don't conform to the patterns of this world,
right,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to test and see and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives.
That's right. There's another perspective of that which some people don't understand. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest issues in renewing the mind is getting rid of the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And receiving God's truth, because that's what brings a transformation. It's only the Holy Spirit who can radically transform our lives.
Mm.
And as long as you've got lies in the depths of your heart, you are going to battle. But when God's truth comes and displaces the lies, you're transformed and you're set free.
And this we see, as we have mentioned earlier, often starts in childhood, in early childhood.
Yeah.
And I think as we grow older, that lie or that burden that we're under gets bigger and bigger.
Absolutely, yeah.
And becomes more intolerable.
Yeah.
And so we tend to turn to other sources, as you say, comforts.
False comfort.
To get relief from this. And one of the first things people turn to is alcohol and drugs.
That's right. Well, I used to drink, but I was never an alcoholic. But I became a perfectionist.
Okay.
I was striving to prove myself to people by doing everything with the utmost precision because I wasn't secure in myself. So somehow I had to demonstrate to everybody else, put up this facade. Look, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Look how well I do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, I'm falling apart.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the reality of the situation. But indeed, it gives hope to all folk who've been actually living in this type of situation that we can be set free.
Yeah.
It just needs the commitment to God to allow God to work in our lives.
Yeah.
And then we be transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. And then we seek His face.
That's right.
And we ask the Lord, who am I really?
Yeah.
And I think this is something that every individual needs to realize that Christ died for me.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what I look like, what I feel like, what I've done, Christ died for me.
Yeah.
Unworthy as I am, He died for me. And then when I look at that, I must be worth something.
Yeah, that's right. There's two men in history, and these are real stories. One is called Max Jukes, and the other's Jonathan Edwards. And somebody's done some research into their genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
Over quite a number of generations. And Max Jukes was a drunk, and Jonathan Edwards was a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that this thing is generational. Because if you go through the lineage of Jonathan Edwards, he was blessed, he was a believer, and you follow his generations. Many were in law, many were in medicine, many were in the church, many became missionaries, very high-profile people in America. And the opposite was true of Max Jukes, who was a drunk. And you follow his lineage, and many more were drunks. They were in trouble with the law. Many of the women became prostitutes. And just it's devastation from generation to generation to generation. And this was back in the early 1700s. So it's really a contrasting experience between Jonathan Edwards, who loved the Lord and walked in relationship with God, and Max Jukes, who had nothing to do with God. Just devastation.
Okay, so that actually shows that, and it comes back to what we were speaking about in our program last week, the example that we set, the tone that we, the realms that we live in as a family unit, the example that parents give to their children, and we need to always be building rather than breaking.
Yeah,
I think of the old illustration that I've used a number of times before. Give me a big enough hammer, and I will break down a perfectly built wall.
Right.
But ask me to rebuild that wall, man, it's a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of skill and effort to actually recreate that wall. And I think this is it, where we live under the lie of people breaking us down, and it's so easy to do that.
Yeah.
And yet, as Christian believers, we need to be a people who endeavor to build one another up.
That's right.
And
that's
obviously, this was the situation in Jonathan Edwards' lineage, in his line, and his family. They were a family who loved God, who set the right example, and it just followed down.
Well, the sadness is that many people struggle with things like alcohol, Pornography is another one.
Yes.
Drugs. They don't realize somebody's opened a door in previous generations mm-hmm. and passed it down to them.
So how do we break this?
Well, again, there's another process. We need to recognize that that's where it's come from mm-hmm. the forefathers. We may not specifically see it, but the Lord can reveal that to us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see it's come through the generation, it's a pattern. And you can see many patterns through many families. Adultery will be another one.
Mm-hmm.
But firstly, we need to forgive the people who opened the door.
Okay.
Whether it's our father, grandfather, whoever, we need to forgive them.
But what happens if we don't know who they are?
Well,
You say it's come from the generations there, Dave,
yeah.
But I think of a situation where a person might show these traits, he might see it in his own children, but
yeah.
he's got no knowledge of that ever being in his family beforehand.
Well, then it may not be an iniquity at all.
Okay.
Because,
but it could be there, but he might not know
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, well, I've led many people in prayer. We're not absolutely sure,
mm-hmm.
but we walk through this
okay.
anyway. So we need to forgive and release the person and harbor nothing in our hearts. It's got to be true, heartfelt repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether we say the cross, we plead the blood. That breaks the power of all sin, iniquity, everything demonic. So mm-hmm. we symbolically place the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ between the iniquity and our lives,
okay.
where its power is totally broken.
Okay.
Now, our forefathers opened the door, but we received the iniquity. We didn't realize that. I received fear
mm-hmm.
and shame from my parents and my forefathers, and I had to deal with that. So we actually need to take ownership and acknowledge the fact, even though we didn't open the door, our forefathers did, we received that iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ask the Lord to cleanse us and wash us in his precious blood, which, of course, he would do. And then we need, fourthly, to renounce that iniquity. And that's closing the door that our forefathers opened.
Okay.
So it's officially disowning it, if you like, getting rid of it, terminating it from our lives once and for all.
Okay.
And then the most important point is to release a blessing if we have children of our own. On the next generations.
Okay.
Because if it's not broken in our generation, this carries on from generation to generation to generation. And you can see it in many mm-hmm. people's lives. So then we release a blessing, which would be the opposite of the iniquity that came through. If it's a sexual one, we would release a blessing of sexual blessing, marital fidelity, sexual purity, these kind of things
mm-hmm.
on the following generations. Yeah.
So this is a situation where we need to actually break this, almost like say, break this curse
it's
from one generation to another.
Yeah,
and start speaking blessing rather than cursing.
Absolutely, Mike.
In our lives.
Yeah, yeah. Again, many people don't realize this, but talking about topical and relational communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally the women understands relational communication more than the men do.
Mm-hmm.
We talk on the topical level. And I wish somebody told me this illustration that a man took his wife into an ice cream parlor because she liked ice cream. True story.
Okay.
And then when he saw the prices, it had been a while since he was there last, he thought, whatever it was, 25 rand for an ice cream? My goodness, no ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the relational message that came through to his wife was, I'm not worth 25 rand.
Okay.
And that devastated mm-hmm. her, and they argued over that mm-hmm. for days and days mm-hmm. and days until somebody came along and helped them.
Yeah.
So it's so easy to speak negatively, derogatively, to hurt somebody in their heart, and we don't even realize we've done it.
And I think the important thing there to realize, as in that illustration there, man tends to be a very logical type person, and
that's
a
right.
woman a very emotional type person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we need the God's wisdom and guidance in our relationships so that we can make allowance for that type of situation.
That's right.
And then I'm sure then we would actually approach situations in a different manner.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can actually build instead of break what happened in that type of situation.
That's right. I can remember when I repented to my wife and apologized for being sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I that day I resigned as the Lord of her life because I realized in the way I'd spoken to her and addressed her, I was lording it over her in mm-hmm. some of the areas. I mean, we're believers. We were both missionaries at the mm-hmm. time. But I was lording it over her. And I needed to set her free.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that happen frequently. The way that men address their wives is not godly.
Mm.
It's not biblical. And we devastate our wives' hearts and feelings and emotions without realizing that we've done it.
Mm-hmm. So this is something there that I think we need to actually take to heart and realize that we need to be careful, because our words can
absolutely
cause devastation in another person's life.
Yeah.
And it could be that one event, that one series of conversations and whatever, that actually creates a situation where the person starts living under this lie.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we need to actually break that, especially as children growing up. If we've lived that for a long time, we need to break it. We need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, rid me of this lot. And if there's anything that I need to do, as you've mentioned, David, forgiveness is important.
Yeah,
we need to repent of any ways that are unpleasing to the Lord and need to seek God's face going forward.
Yeah.
And I think this is, if we seek God's face going forward, in our time of stress, in our time of turmoil, our time of grief, you might say, because let's face it, life isn't just a lovely cruise. There are bumps along the way.
Yeah.
And instead of turning then to alcohol or drugs or seeing release somewhere else, we can say, Lord, please give me release in this situation.
At any moment, we can turn to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, somebody's just devastated me, curse my identity. Mm. I reject that. That's a lie. What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
And just open our hearts and give him the opportunity to speak into our hearts and receive his truth. And he will speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think in a situation like this, once we know the Lord and we're in right relationship with God, if we have had an alcohol or drug misuse or abuse problem in the past, many times God will release us from that immediately, and he will help us through when temptations come in the future.
That's right, yeah.
And I think it's a case of there many times when we succumb to God's love, if we endeavor to walk in the light, walk in right relationship with him, we give him thanks for the work that he's done on Calvary through Christ, brought our redemption. We can be overcomers. There's a scripture, I think it's 1 John 5:5. I could be mistaken, that says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Christ is the Son of God.
Right.
And I think that's a situation. If we want to be overcomers, our faith needs to be totally fixed in Christ.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned 1 John, but I'll call 1 John 4:18 says, mm-hmm. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment or torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an impartation of the Father's love that drives out the fear and brings our soul back into peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any other way of that happening to a person. It's happened to me. I've seen it happen to many other people. And that's biblical truth. Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, if your soul is not in peace, or you know youngsters, or you yourself know others who are not living in that peace that God provides, as we've shared this evening, the way through to resolve that is to identify possibly an event, the lie that a person's living under, forgive those who have actually cursed us, endeavor to be a blessing ourselves to others. But first and foremost, we need to come to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I cannot do this myself. Help me through this situation.
Yeah.
We put our trust, we put our faith, we put our hope in him, and then we can be overcomers going forward.
That's right.
We've run out of time, but David, is there any closing word that you'd like to encourage our listeners with?
Well, I would read a scripture. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him, that's the devil, who holds the power of death. And God wants to set us free, and the death can not just be spiritual or physical, but emotional, relational, many other forms of death that keep our soul out of peace. And God is certainly wanting to bring comfort and his peace into our souls.
Thank you very much, David, for sharing with us this evening. May the Lord help each one of our listeners find their soul peace. Amen.
Amen.